WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, pouring the coffee in my coal roofing mug. Billy Cole is going to join us later on. We've got a weird week here. It's Miami week. I'm going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday morning with some great guests for Baltimore Positive. Then Friday, we're moving the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're moving that out to Nick's Grandstand Grill. We're going to be in Timonium on Friday afternoon from 2 until 5. You know Jim Reese from Off at Kerman. He's going to be one of my guests. We're trying to get Leonard Raskin. I got my Raskin Global shirt on. Hope all is well there. And we'll get Leonard out. And, of course, Tommy from Nick's is going to make me the world-famous crab cake. Then we're with Brandon Scott, our mayor, next Wednesday at Coco's. And a shout-out to Marcella. Hopefully, Rasig's going to come by, too. I need to mix a little Buffalo sports in, especially on a week when topsy-turvy week here, Luke, you know. And especially for this week, we're going to get it out of the way on Thursday night. It's Hollywood and Lamar and their return and all of that. But I think we're on the front end of a lot of things here with the Ravens in 6-2 and where they are. And part of this is, sucks to not have Brandon Williams. Sucks to not have Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters. Now we lose to Sean Elliott. But starting to see a little bloom on the wide receiver thing, right? Even in a game where Lamar ran, I think we can all agree, although I couldn't get Hardball to say too much in the post game on Sunday, but Lamar not running 21 times. Part of that is Bateman has become a stick mover, and Hollywood Brown has become a star? Where are we on this? We're going to find out on Thursday, right, with his homecoming, right?
Well, and you just said it. We all remember his first NFL game. I mean, that was, I mean, just a wild game. That no one knew exactly what to predict. I mean, this was Lamar Jackson's first full year as a starter, and Marquise Brown had missed so much time. And they go to Miami, they win 59-10. What? He had 147 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, we were talking about the records he set in that game. And, you know, I mean, we saw him have some, I don't even want to say struggles his first year. I think a lot of that was really health related. I mean, this is a kid who, remember, he had the Liz Frank injury with his foot at the end of his career at Oklahoma, and he played catch up. You know, he missed the entire offseason, missed a good chunk of training camp that year, and yet he was still productive. And then last year, we remember him having the November to forget, dropping passes. He had the tweet. What was it? I guess it was after the Pittsburgh game about, you know, talking about wanting to be a soldier. I guess it was whatever. Well, I can't remember the exact wording, but there was clearly some dishappiness, you know, or some disenchantment, some unhappiness with, you know, whether it, I don't think it was Lamar Jackson personally. I think it was just within the offense. But I looked it up with this latest 100-yard performance he had on Sunday. Keep in mind, most of that came in the second half. You know, he kind of had a quiet first half, and then it was just really big with the underneath stuff, the flats and all of that, yards after the catch. But I looked it up, Nestor, now going back to the beginning of December, you know, their Pittsburgh COVID game. He's played 16 games counting the postseason, because we should count the postseason. I always laugh when people exclude postseason games from these types of discussions. But over his last 16 games, Nestor, 83 catches, 1,216 yards, 12 touchdowns in this offense. Now, this offense is more.
Those are some Antonio Brown numbers, right?
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's not quite that, but it's really good. And especially when you consider, okay, this offense is not pass happy, but it's pass happier, let's say, than it used to be. But this isn't an offense that is dropping back and throwing 50 times a game. And for him to put up those numbers, that's why whatever the controversy was a few weeks back with Bart Scott criticizing him. I mean, it was all dumb. I mean, it's, you know, it's a typical first take talking heads, hot take TV stuff that I really don't have a whole lot of taste for, but
nor do I. We do intelligent, really, we do wise conversations around here, you know, like, you know,
I'd like to think that's a whole different place.
It's like what they do at 105.7, taking calls and everybody's outraged and whatever. I can't live in, it's just not enjoyable. That's why I do something else. But I hear about that stuff and I think, oh man, you know, like, that's so not productive, you know, and at least in this locker room, as opposed to, and I already mentioned Antonio Brown, where Tomlin couldn't hold it together. Look at the Packers with this maniac out there. Like, that it can, I mean, look at what happened with Ray Rice here, or when controversy finds you, when Terrell Suggs is bleaching his girlfriend, when things look at Henry Ruggs, God forbid, right? But I mean, look at what happens in these other places, and we haven't had a lot of that around here. I mean, really. I mean, this has been a kind of a quiet place. They play football around here for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Rice is a pretty big example. So, and
no, but things that could go wrong. That
oh, sure.
Really
no, I understand. And, I
this
mean,
is a quiet place in that way. I mean, when Bart Scott tries to stir it up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. I mean,
even
yeah,
Harbaugh with me, like, how dare you ask about Lamar running? I'm not trying to be controversial here. I'm trying to say you can't have your quarterback running the linebackers 21 times a week. That doesn't even make any sense. But I think that there's the snipping for snipping's sake. The Odell Beckham Jr. last week, right? His father's putting videos up. I mean, we don't deal with that around here. The Browns had to deal with that and won last week.
Well, I think the big key is you do have to deal with that, but how do you deal with it? I mean, Marquise Brown was unhappy last November. We saw the tweet after the game. I mean, look what happened with Earl Thomas last summer. I mean, they have that. The key, you're not going to have a perfect situation. Good culture is how do you handle those situations and keep them internal and prevent them from becoming those situations that get out to the media or start impacting your ability to win football games or guys that are getting in trouble off the, you know, I mean, whatever the scenario is that you want to talk about. I mean, the teams that have the best culture are able to, you know, you're able to mitigate those circumstances. When something pops up, you handle it and you're able to move on and you keep.
Well, John talked about that with Lamar handling adversity in the postgame, just that he's handling it better and being behind by two touchdowns is never the prescription. But now having these building blocks that you can come back in these games and win, that was the one thing they said that if the Ravens fell behind, they would not be able to catch up and win. And they've been doing that. That's another hurdle that they clear when fans are singing on the way out. You and I go to the locker room and you hear them chanting Seven Nations on the way out. That's part of the fun of this. If they were just out there winning by four touchdowns like the Dolphins game a couple years ago, this tests them in a different way.
It really does. And I mean, it's why I've written it and I'm not the only one. And we've talked about it. Lamar Jackson has nothing left to prove other than what every quarterback in this era, not named Tom Brady, is trying to prove. Win Super Bowls, right? Or win playoff games. I mean, and Lamar's no different than any other quarterback in that way. I mean, even a guy like Russell Wilson, who won a Super Bowl, that was 8 years ago. I mean, you know, at some point in time, unless you're Tom Brady, where you've won so many times where it's just like, all right. I mean, is it going to win another one?
By the way, on behalf of Michelle Jackman and every other Seahawk fan I know, they should have won the second one. I just want to throw that in.
He didn't, though. Right. You know, he threw a pick. I mean, Russell Wilson threw a pick there. So, and look, I love Russell Wilson.
If Billy Cundiff hits a field goal, Joe might have won too. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
like, it happens.
Or maybe
that way.
The second one never happens. Who knows? I mean, there's always the butterfly effect. I mean, you never really know. But my point is,
put a helmet on Jacoby Jones.
There's really anyone who's still trying to put up these obstacles for Lamar Jackson, you're just kind of showing that you're refusing to be wrong, right? I mean, look, I didn't think Lamar Jackson was going to be this kind of player. No one did. If the Ravens knew Lamar Jackson was going to be this, I guarantee you they wouldn't have drafted Hayden Hurst when they did. They would have made sure that they had Lamar Jackson earlier in the first round. So no one really knew. But the point is, this guy has proven everything he can prove when it comes to regular season, when it comes to throwing the football, when it comes to erasing double-digit deficits. Now, he's done it three different times in the second half this year. Now, he did it against KC. He did it against Indianapolis. He did it on Sunday. There's nothing left for him to prove other than what every quarterback, not named Tom Brady, is chasing now in January, and that's winning Super Bowls. Even Patrick Mahomes, after losing one, would tell you he still has more to prove. And look, he's struggling way more than he had his previous season. So it just, again, shows how difficult it is. But I mean, you look at the Ravens offense right now, it's you know, they ran the ball better on Sunday. That's still something that the non-Lamar Jackson portion of the running game, I still want to see more consistency, but I liked what I saw from Freeman and Bell. Thought the offensive line, for as much as they had issues with protection, they did a nice job in terms of opening running lanes, especially as the game went on. But you know, you're seeing a much more complete offense, a much more diverse offense. I mean, my goodness, they had a touchdown drive where Patrick Ricard was the featured receiver, you know, catching three passes and catching a touchdown on fourth down.
Well, it's becoming a little bit more trigonometry as opposed to, you know, college math and then algebra one and algebra two, that there are building blocks for these humans as well, be it the offensive line, which is always in flux, but these wide receivers like Bateman that couldn't even get a uniform on 4 weeks ago that are now proving to be instrumental parts of third down offerings.
No question. And what you want to be as an offense is to have an answer for everything that a defense is going to throw at you. And aside from the Cincinnati game, which give the Bengals credit, they had a really good defensive game plan. They've had answers. You know, they've been able to respond. I mean, even the game they lost against the Raiders, I mean, it's, you know, it's not as though they didn't score points in that game. And remember, that was a few days after losing Gus Edwards. You know, that was 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks after losing J.K. Dobbins. Sammy Watkins and Marquise Brown hadn't practiced all summer. So, you know, but they have an offense that is becoming much more diverse. And again, I'll bring it back to what Marquise Brown has done. And I'd be remiss, you know, even though he didn't have a monster game on Sunday, but Mark Andrews is having a monster year. You know, he's on pace to shatter Ravens tight end records, you know, leaving guys like Todd Heap and Dennis Pitta in the dust, you know, as far as the numbers he's putting up. So, but I think what was so encouraging, and you mentioned Bateman, but, you know, Devin Duvernay, you know, really nice one-handed catch in the end zone. I mean, that was a highlight catch. He's your number three, really now number four receiver once Sammy Watkins comes back, but he made a play for you. And, you know, we mentioned Devontae Freeman had a touchdown with, you know, actually made a pretty nice catch, a pass to Lamar Jackson, not terribly accurate on, threw that a little wide where he had to really reach for that and probably didn't have to, but that's going to happen. You know, no quarterback puts it on the money every single time. So you need,
by the way, that game
plays
was great for that. So if you went to the game, you saw some things like the bar play was unbelievably athletic. Lamar's capable. Lamar does five things in the game that nobody else can do. And it's not breaking the leg of a Cincinnati Bengal and running 60 yards, but he does things that any defensive coordinator will tell you. But then the Duvernay catch, there really is an incredible level of athleticism that if I were on the field right now, having been a guy that was on the field every week in the 90s, it's a different game with speed now. And the way when I see the Arizona Kyler Murray run around and I see the way these offenses look. And when you say Mark Andrews is shattering the, it doesn't look that way because the patterns don't look that way. It doesn't look like Todd Heap or Dennis Pitt. It really doesn't. It looks like a college offense. It does.
Well, and part of this you have to remember, you mentioned the speed. The physicality is not what it was 20 years ago because it's officiated in a different way. Think about all these plays where guys go over the middle. I mean, the Ravens love to throw the ball over the middle of the field. Now, they threw a lot to the flats on Sunday because that's something that the Vikings gave them, and they had a lot of success throwing to the flats, to Lamar Jackson's arm side, which, you know, I mean, they had that was a big key for them in kind of, you know, a catalyst for their second half comeback. But they love to throw the ball over the middle. 20 years ago, you couldn't do that with the same level of precision. Now, if Lamar Jackson played 20 years ago and did what he did, he'd be successful in any era. I mean, he would, because he's just that unique. I mean, he throws the ball better than Michael Vick ever did. I mean, that's just the truth. And Michael Vick had maybe a stronger arm, but Lamar has plenty of arm strength and, you know, throws the ball more effectively. But the point is, these over the middle routes, there used to be an enforcer waiting there to, whether it was deliberately take their head off or just try to play very physical defense. And inevitably, you knew there would be some headshots that would happen via, you know, being accidental. So there isn't that same fear. I mean, Tom Brady's talked about that. I forget, was it the offseason or last year? He talked about the fact that it's way easier playing quarterback now because you can throw over the middle and know that you're not going to get your receivers killed because of the way the game's policed, the way it's officiated now. So, but hey, that's not a knock on today's game. lean into that, take advantage of that. You know, when there's something that you can do and it's officiated in a different way than it was when it was Ray Lewis and Ed Reed patrolling the middle of the field, then do it. So, you know, you're seeing an offense that continues to evolve, continues to grow. I mean, I made mention, you know, as much as we think of Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews as Lamar's favorite targets, you know, you see Bateman moving the chains with making catches, and you see three other guys catch touchdowns on Sunday. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, because again, it comes back to defenses will come up with answers for things that you do. You need to counter, and the Ravens have been able to counter this year, and they haven't started fast in games. You know, I mean, we even saw on Sunday, I mean, you know, they were kind of fortunate to come away with a field goal on that horse collar call on Lamar Jackson that I don't really think was a horse collar. It looked like grabbed the top of his number more so.
Neither
than
did Mike Zimmer.
Yeah. But hey, calls are going to go your way. Other calls go against you. We know that. I mean, some people didn't like the Chris Board pass interference, which I think if you looked at the one replay, he hooked the left arm and pulled the guy and turned him, which is going to get flagged. The TV replay didn't really show that as well. A real time angle, but you know, you want to counter, you want to adjust. And I thought it was interesting. A few weeks back, Greg Roman was asked about game script. And we've thought for years and years how teams would come out and script their first 15 plays. And that was just the way it was done. I mean, Bill Walsh talked about that, you know, 40 years ago. The Ravens don't do that. And the reason why is they see such unique looks and different looks and different ways that teams try to approach Lamar Jackson that they can have a script for the first 15 plays, but depending on what a team does to them defensively, it's not even going to be worth it. So they don't even script their first 15 plays anymore. I mean, they have their full menu, their full assortment of plays, and then they're ready to adjust just like that. They come out on first down and they see how a team's trying to play them. They're adjusting. They're not.
Well, I think Harbaugh pointed out Lamar has options now that maybe 3 years ago.
Sure.
Again, this goes to Math 101, Math 201. I mean, you're very familiar with this. And these guys that pick it up and get better, even when they get better like Mahomes or Josh Allen or Dak Prescott, somebody else comes in and does something better and they have an injury and the offensive line's no good and guys drop balls on third down and kickers miss kicks and special teams, you know, bring them out on the field 7 points down further than they were when they went to halftime. I mean, all of these things go wrong during this. But the calm part, the Buddha part that no one needed to teach Joe Flacco didn't come out of the box with Lamar in that way. And I think we're seeing this comeback thing and not the pounding on the ground and all of that to get back up and move forward. And now Lamar has these comebacks and more clubs in the golf bag, quite frankly. And I think that's where Harbaugh lives and eats and breathes, you know, with religion and scripture and building and leadership and teamwork and culture. And this is where Harbaugh 15 years is into his Phil Jackson phase of this and having a whole new group of people that the Andrews, the Hollywoods, the Lamars, maybe Bateman because it's early on his cake right now. All of these guys were these draft picks in the same way there was Flacco and Rice and Pitta and that group of guys that you look up second, third, fourth year and you're like, oh, they're not young anymore and we're 6-2 and they won a playoff game. They've lost some playoff games. This is where the foot's down. And I think the Rams are there right now too, acquiring players last week and all of that. But this feels to me like, you know, I should tip my cap to Harbaugh, despite the fact that I pissed him off on Sunday. Doesn't matter to me. But this is impressive all the way around. I see DaCosta walking the field now 30 years into this and trying to replace players and trying to mix and match. But the Browns are real. We saw that. The Bengals beat us a couple of weeks ago. That there's really stiff competition on a week-by-week basis throughout the league. And we lament that there's no great team. Well, maybe the Browns have figured out how to get better at this. And for the Ravens and the Saints and the Steelers and, you know, the Patriots that never change their, and even the Vikings, now 8 years into Zimmer, you see these systems and there's some confidence that they can take him and coach him up and make him better. And I think with the Ravens, and I talk about, like, we mentioned James Urban. I'm thinking to myself, Lamar every week leaves things like, dude, Get out of bounds. Get down. Stop taking contact. Get rid of the ball once in a while. Live another day. Like all of those things that I'm sure Urban's beating him up about during the week. This is the time of the year where you hope it settles in and it's not too much, where a couple of years ago, everybody's drinking from a fire hose. And none of these guys are that way now. Certainly not Villanueva, Zeitler, these veteran guys. Josh Bynes, he comes into the room, and all of a sudden, I mean, I remember him with the hair and being the young guy and couldn't get on the field. Now he's like the Buddha in their room. They have real leadership here.
Yeah, and that's something, generally speaking, that the names have changed, but they've had good leadership. It's why John Harbaugh's had one losing season. I mean, even years where they weren't very good, they're there at the end of the season. They're either making the playoffs or they're contending for a playoff spot. And now
that means when they lose their left tackle, they lose their cornerback, they
figure it out. And let's be very clear. This can also be very fleeting. A year ago at this time, we were talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers being undefeated. But if you looked and you went back at it, they were winning close games, winning close games, winning close games, winning close games. That's where I do take a little bit of pause, as much as we're giving the Ravens their flowers and they deserve it for being 6-2 and second best team, record wise in the AFC behind the Titans after their big win over the Rams. But this can be fleeting from the standpoint of you win close games over and over and over. Law of averages and regression to the mean generally will say you're going to probably lose some close games before it's all said and done, especially when the schedule picks up. That's why, as I've said, so important for them to take advantage of these next couple of weeks. I know it's a short week, but let's call a spade. The Ravens have no excuse not to go down to Miami and beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a bad football team. Same thing going to Chicago a week from this coming Sunday. Bears are not a very good football team. They might have some talent here and there, but there's a clear, distinct difference between the Ravens and those types of teams. But again, this can be very fleeting. It's a week-to-week league. It's why you can't get too high, can't get too low. As much as everything looked great after the Chargers game, we all recall how lousy it looked with the Bengals game. Then you come out of the bye week, and it looks lousy in the first 20, first 30 minutes. Let's rephrase that. First 30 minutes and 15 seconds with the opening kickoff of the second half being returned for a touchdown. But then they turned it on. They flipped the switch. Now, in the long run, you really don't want to be that team that flips the switch, because as the Chiefs kind of found out finally in the Super Bowl last year, and maybe there's been some carryover this year, who knows? I don't follow that team quite as closely, but their issues have been apparent, turning the ball over and their offense just not looking Chiefs-like in 2021. But, there's a reason why great teams blow out their opponents. And teams that, you can win games, but if they're close games, that's when you do have to remember you need to keep trying to get better. I mean, the Ravens, they looked better on the offensive line run blocking on Sunday. Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell looked better running the football. The defense was certainly much better after their first two drives on Sunday, but it can be very fleeting. And all it takes is one dog of a performance. Ask the Buffalo Bills that right now, and everyone starts questioning you again. So, you win these close games, the law of averages would suggest there are probably going to be a couple close losses ahead, but hey, they don't need to go 15-2, to win the Super Bowl. Win games, stack wins, keep yourself in position to win the division, see what happens with the number one seed. I mean, as much as Tennessee will be the talk, and they kind of deserve it after beating the Rams on the road, but they don't have Derrick Henry. So what's that going to look like moving forward? Maybe Adrian Peterson can do a very poor man's imitation of Derrick Henry at this point, but he's not Derrick Henry at this point. I mean, Adrian Peterson was Derrick Henry 15 years ago. think about that. It's really wild. It speaks a lot to the career he's had, but all these teams are going to run.
I'll tell you about the time I got a Christmas gift. My mother-in-law gave me Adrian Peterson instead of Ray Rice at the time because it was purple.
Okay.
So I have an Adrian Peterson Christmas ornament.
Hey, and it was probably a number of years ago.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. One of the best running backs of all time. But, the Ravens, look, in the same way that Patrick Mahomes is struggling right now, Lamar might struggle at some point later on in the season. He might go through a game or two where he turns the ball over and doesn't look really good. I mean, it happens. That's the league. That's not a knock on him. That's any great quarterback is going to have that. So know, as much as the Ravens are leaning on him, that's where it does make you a little more nervous. And to the point you made about the 21 carries and the hits he's taking, but you are seeing signs of improvement in some other areas. You mentioned Josh Bynes. The linebackers played very well on Sunday. Tyus Bowser, Patrick Queen, they played well on Sunday. I mean, that was good to see after all the criticism for that group. So you're trying to get better. At the same time, there's kind of that push-pull of you want to stay healthy too. They lose to Sean Elliott. You're hoping to get some guys back maybe for the Miami game, but certainly after that, you know, the Latavius Murray and Brandon Williams and Nick Boyle, and you hope Derek Wolfe at some point, although, again, that feels way more in flux than you had hoped coming out of the bye. And Chris Westry, you know, a young corner who they loved during training camp and made the team and got hurt in week one. He's practicing and should be back soon. So some reinforcements are on the way, but you just keep your fingers crossed and you hope you don't lose anyone else, because you feel like this team, as much as they have some very clear flaws and they have imperfections, that's no different than anyone else, especially in the AFC, but you're also seeing them grow and evolve and continue to get better. And you're seeing some young guys step forward, and that's exciting. You know, that just gives you that much of a better chance come January when, you know, ultimately this team's legacy will be defined.
Luke Jones can be found anywhere the internet travels at Baltimore. Luke, he'll be real fresh, real fast with the Royal Farms folks, but this game's going to be real fast. Big appreciation to Justin Tucker for not only eating the chicken and pimping the coffee with our friends at Royal Farms, but for also complimenting the hair. Don't hit the hair. We're going to be doing the Maryland Lottery's Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long. I'm getting out doing double duty because I was on my butt last month, but Wednesday we're going to be downtown, Fadley's, Lexington Market. I'll be having the crab cake there. Delicious, as well as a little mac and cheese. Probably bring home some fresh seafood as well. Maybe a little salmon this week. Maybe a little rockfish. We'll see how that goes. Friday, we're going to be out at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium. I'm going to be having the crab cake there with Tommy and some friends. Jim Reed's going to be joining us from Offutt Kerman, my pal, as well as I think Leonard Raskin may be joining us on Friday as well. So it's going to be a good Friday there. And then next Wednesday, the 17th, we have Mayor Brandon Scott at Coco's. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, getting you ready for Thursday night. I remember when the Dolphins came in here with Greasy back in the 70s. The old days. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.